Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and what an honor to have Pro-Life Colorado's founder Joe Scott in studio. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
So today we're going to talk about the Quran burning scheduled for tomorrow, but also, Joe, a few things. You spoke to a class of the University of Denver yesterday, and some police showed up?
Yeah.
How many?
About seven.
Seven cops showed up.
And
how many cop cars? Seven cop cars. Yeah. All right, we'll get to that. Also, another baby was saved at the local abortion clinic.
Today?
Yes. How many does that make since Roe v. Wade Day?
39.
39 babies. Mm-hmm. Praise God. We'll talk about literature drops, the Colorado Right to Life Banquet, October 2nd coming up, the place to be before the election, and our Bob in Your Life Telethon. We're at 30 of 200.
That's right.
200, Joe. Our goal is 200 people to pledge $20 a month to help us stay on the internet for another year. We really need the help. So we'll talk about that, too. The number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So, Joe, the burning of the Quran, I want to talk through this, and three things I'd like to hit. One is the cultural intimidation of Christians and the world by Muslims, because people think they'll behave badly and kill people. So cultural intimidation. Secondly, our dear friend, the Reverend Flip Benham, Operation Save America, Operation Rescue National, He's been burning Qurans for
years.
I guess for as long as he could get his hands on Qurans.
When he couldn't get a burn permit, he just ripped them up.
He just ripped them up.
Yeah.
And so Flip Benham and Operation Rescue National, they've been burning Qurans ever since Flip was allowed to have a lighter.
That's right.
And then also the demonstration of hypocrisy. This pastor in Florida, the Reverend Terry Jones, he has demonstrated hypocrisy in the most extraordinary and irrefutable way. So those are some of the things I'd like to talk about.
Great.
So, Joe, I've got a lot of thoughts on this, and please feel free to chime in and give your thoughts as a Christian leader, pro-life leader. You preach the gospel of Jesus Christ across the country and on schools, campuses, at churches, at abortion clinics. But so, okay, Pastor Terry Jones, he has exposed in the most irrefutable way the extraordinary hypocrisy of the media and our government and everybody who's crying out the loudest condemning him.
That's right.
He's exposed their hypocrisy, because where was their outrage when he's a pastor nobody ever heard of until a week ago.
There's like 50 people in his church.
Right. Where was the outrage of well-known artists and celebrities and singers and authors who mock Christianity, blaspheme Jesus Christ? Where was their condemnation? And Joe, we have example after example of where tax dollars are used.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, government subsidizing and tacit government support of mocking of Christians and Christianity. Where was their outrage?
I didn't hear any.
I didn't hear it. I did not hear it. And so what the Reverend Terry Jones has done irrefutably is to show the hypocrisy. And I think you remember, Joe, right? The plays, the movies, music videos, like showing Jesus Christ as a homosexual, for example.
Oh, absolutely. We protested at some of those plays.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And taking a crucifixion, a Christian symbol of the cross with Jesus on it, and submerging it in human waste. And that, the artist for that was paid $15,000, and it was at art exhibits, and the creation of it was subsidized with money from the NEA, the National Endowment of the Arts.
Yeah.
And so here we have the government funding blasphemous artwork, and those who are screaming the loudest condemning this unknown pastor in Florida, I remember their smirks, their laughs, their defense. All they could think to talk about is free speech and the First Amendment. And I thought, well, free speech doesn't mean that taxpayers should be forced to subsidize this filth, this mockery of Christianity, this blasphemy against Jesus Christ. And where were the liberals in their outrage?
They are nowhere to be seen on this issue.
No, that's right. And so now, what are they going to do? Are they going to insist that from here on out, there be no mockery of Christianity? Is that what all the liberals who are angry, is that what they're going to do?
You'll never, ever see that happen, Bob. No. Never. They could care less what happens to Christians.
Yeah, because they have, it's like an antenna. You know, it's a built-in directional system. And when you're in rebellion against God, you tend to support all those things that are in rebellion against him.
I don't understand why they support Islam and the Muslim religion, because
they would
they
be allowed
hate everything to do.
They
with
wouldn't
it.
Be allowed to do what they do. In fact, if we had Saudi Arabia is the official country, the land of Islam, with Mecca and Medina, they wouldn't be allowed to hold the jobs that they hold.
That's right.
Some of them wouldn't be allowed to live. The women wouldn't be allowed to drive cars. The country of Saudi Arabia doesn't allow Bibles in the country. Right. I mean, here in America, there's religious freedom. You could read the Quran or you could burn the Quran, but there is this cultural intimidation that has to be stopped.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it has to be stopped. Millions of people are afraid to publicly criticize Muhammad.
That's just it, Bob. They're afraid.
Right.
And that to me is foolish.
Yeah.
He has no power.
Right.
Jesus does.
Yeah, that's right. God, you know, the Our Father God could whoop your mother earth. Well, the same thing with Muhammad. Muhammad is a false prophet. He's a child molester, child rapist by their own writings. I remember in the Quran, this one surah where his wife was angry because he wanted a Coptic slave girl, a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, he already had multiple wives. His wife was outraged, and so he promised her he wouldn't touch the girl. Then he decided he wanted her, the slave girl, and he took her, and his wife was upset, and he threatened his wife, his main wife, his first wife. He threatened her with eternal hellfire, and he said, Muhammad deserves what Muhammad wants, and if you criticize me, you'll burn in hell. I'm paraphrasing slightly. So, and, you know, slaughter Jesus Christ. He didn't tell his followers, go out and kill those who disagree with us.
That's right.
He spoke of love and forgiveness. And the Quran is very different. Those who follow Jesus Christ, we know you don't kill people who disagree with you and your religion. And Christians who do wrongly can be condemned by Christ's teachings. Those who kill people in the name of Allah, they quote an awful lot of verses right out of the Quran to justify their behavior.
And then they tell us those verses are not there. They don't really mean that.
They don't mean that? They don't exist?
They don't exist. That's just foolish of us to believe it.
And Joe, last year, our own U.S. military burned Bibles in Afghanistan. A church sent them out and sent them printed in different local languages. And the U.S. military said, well, it's against our policy to distribute Bibles, so they burned them.
And no one in the United States, no Christian in the United States says, we're going to go
over
there and
kill people. We're going to kill people. Right. But the military, would they have burned a Quran?
Never.
No, they wouldn't have burned a Quran because they're intimidated.
Yes.
They're intimidated. And, you know, our soldiers who are fighting for freedom, fighting to stop our enemies from being able to organize and fund terrorists, to kill Americans, to kill Jews, to kill everyone they view as infidels, our soldiers are fighting to put down that kind of governmental support for Islamic terrorism. And I'm thankful that they are. And of course, this threatens them. It does.
It does.
Would you agree that this easily inflames extremist Muslims?
Yes, I would agree.
It does. But so then, but that's, our soldiers are fighting for freedom, for us and others to enjoy freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to condemn wickedness. And right. So the whole world is intimidated because wacko extremist Muslims can't take it that other people will expose Muhammad as a fraud, a false prophet.
We have to be able to grab a hold of our culture anyway and teach them through this that we can't be quiet.
Yeah.
We can't be quiet because right. if we're quiet on this, then we're quiet on the next thing they decide to be inflamed about.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the media created this phenomenon of Pastor Terry Jones because he's sort of isolated and he's not media savvy. And he loves the Lord, and he's trying to expose wickedness and the wickedness of Muhammad and Islam, the Quran. And so he's doing his best, you know. But Flip Benham, for example, the head of Operation Rescue National, OSA, in fact, OSA will be in New York City tomorrow.
Yeah, they are.
And that's great, on the anniversary of 9/11. And Flip Benham, like we said, he's been burning Qurans for a long time.
Years.
Yeah.
Years.
And he is media savvy. He's able to present the gospel in the context of refuting false religions. And so the media created Reverend Terry Jones. They created him. They had a goal in mind.
That's right, because he's not media savvy, and they don't want to deal with Flip. Flip will be on the air giving the gospel the first chance he gets, and they don't want to hear that on the air.
Yeah.
So they go after this guy that's never had to deal with the media before.
Yeah, and Joe, the Associated Press reported a couple years ago, thanks to Matt Drudge for digging these things up. Not that Drudge doesn't get some major headlines
wrong
once in a while. Yeah. But in 2007... in the Gaza Strip, Muslims were destroying crosses and burning Bibles, and Christians were calling out, asking the world to intervene to defend Christians from Christian places of worship being desecrated, Muslims on a rampage, literally destroying every cross they could get their hand on, burning prayer books, burning Bibles, and minimal outrage.
Minimal,
outrage, what?
At best.
Just from Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Christians aren't in the habit of threatening people for their actions, as you know, like we're going to chop your head off. But they've taken our soldiers and chopped their head off.
Right.
They haven't picked Muslim guys and dragged them before the world and said that they were violating their religion. But they take our guys and do that, which is just despicable.
Well, right. And they have killed countless Muslims, but they don't videotape beheading them and hang them from bridges and all. They just bomb men, women, and children, even in a Muslim religious festival and a march, and just bomb indiscriminately and kill. And our guys have been in Iraq and Afghanistan trying to protect Muslims from being killed by other Muslims.
Right.
And I'd love to know what the real numbers are. When we get to heaven, we'll probably find out. But how many Muslims did American soldiers protect and are alive who would have been killed by other Muslims? And with average Iraqis far safer among American soldiers than among Muslim jihadists.
Well, a lot of times, if you go into some of the alternative media, you see the Muslims bringing gifts to our soldiers for saving them. And, and our soldiers holding little children that they've saved.
And I remember on CNN, on 9/11, the spontaneous reaction of little old women in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, little old women dancing and celebrating when the Twin Towers in New York City were destroyed.
Yeah.
And 3,000 people were killed. I remember the spontaneous parades of Palestinians, and their custom there is they throw candy into the parade. You know, here in America, if there's a custom like that, the people in the parade throw candy out.
Out, yeah.
There they throw candy in. Mm-hmm. And these women go in their house and get candy, and they're throwing it to the people in the streets, celebrating that Americans were killed in the Twin Towers. So, and we had Iraq and Saddam Hussein funding Islamic terrorism against Jews, and they typically don't really care if they're killing a Christian or a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
They're both perfectly valid targets in their mind. And so when Saddam Hussein, the head of the government in Iraq, is openly bragging about funding terrorism, and you've got the Taliban in Afghanistan not only funding but organizing and exporting terrorism and training terrorists, Islamic extremists, this is a crisis. And I think now a lot of conservatives who were supportive of that for some years have forgotten why they were supportive
mm-hmm.
of our war against Islamic terrorism. But I'm thankful for every soldier who's put his life on the line to try to steal an operational base from Islamic terrorists.
So am I. Bob, I think the more we back up from the threats of Islam in this country, the more we listen to them threaten us and we back up.
Yeah.
I think we're putting our soldiers in more danger in the future. Just because we don't burn a Quran makes them more powerful.
Makes them more powerful. Right. Muslims are... eventually, they'll find out that Muhammad is a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually. I mean, if not now in this life, in the afterlife, they will find out that Muhammad is standing there before God Almighty being judged and condemned, not only for his rejection of Jesus Christ, Christ's resurrection mm-hmm. from the dead, but also because he encouraged others. The young, the old, everyone to reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he's had a hand in leading millions of people into rebellion against God.
And an eternity without God. I mean, this isn't just something that happens here and disappears. I mean, this has eternal consequences.
Yeah, it surely does. And so when you have, for example, Madonna. Remember Madonna?
Oh, I remember her.
Is she still around, Madonna?
She's 70 now.
She would mix, and she'd do like commercials for Pepsi or whoever. And even in those commercials, she would mock Christianity by mixing Christian symbols with sexual immorality.
That's right.
And fantasizing relations with Christian saints. She's just utterly despicable. She will mix Christianity with sexual immorality, fornication, with children, and package it all up and sell it, and a company like Pepsi buys it hook, line, and sinker. But where was Pepsi's outrage at a celebrity who would mock Christianity? Where's the outrage? The outrage is this pastor nobody's ever heard of?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm a little worked up. I don't know if you could tell, Joe.
Yeah, I can tell, and I am too, Bob. Hmm. I really think that our culture is making a mistake here. Being outraged at Terry Jones, and that just empowers the Muslim radicals against us.
And then, Terry Jones, not being media savvy, whatever discussion he had with whoever in New York, you know, this Imam Muhammad Misery, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Is that his name, Muhammad Misery?
Misery.
Do you know what it is?
Well, it's M-U-S-R-I.
Misery.
Misery.
Muhammad Misery. Supposedly, he was led to believe that they were going to move the mosque. Well, that would have been pretty neat. But no, this triumphal mosque built at Ground Zero, I mean, mm-hmm. it's basically touching a building that was damaged in 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a triumphant mosque. This is not for healing. This is a sign of dominance. And it's not surprising that I'll give you an example. The Roman Catholic Church, the Pope a few years ago, quoted an emperor from 1,000 years ago saying that Muslims tend to be violent. When he quoted that emperor, there were protests by Muslims around the world, and they were violent protests. It's like, yes. Even when the spotlight of the whole world is on them, where's the self-control? Even when they're protesting that, how dare you say we're violent, they overturn police cars, start fires, they threaten to kill people, and you've got a whole country of Muslims in Saudi Arabia a country that's intolerant.
And I think that violence is ingrained in their culture. Because if you're a woman and you violate your husband's wishes in one way or the other, he can do just about whatever he wants.
He can beat you.
He can beat you.
You go back to the Roman Empire, and if a woman saw a crime, she was not considered qualified to testify in court.
Right.
Jesus Christ came along. Jesus Christ said that men and women are equal, that there is no male nor female in the body of Christ, that men should be willing to give their lives for their wives.
That's right.
What a dramatic cultural change. Even, Joe, we go to a Bible country every few years. We're on a Bible tour of Turkey with Denver Bible Church, having a great time. And our tour guide was a Muslim, and he was bragging that Ataturk, the former president of Turkey, who's dead now, but he said Ataturk introduced the right for women to inherit property. That's how progressive he was.
Wow.
And I opened the Bible to, you know, Moses wrote 3,500 years ago. And I said, Bora, look here. This whole chapter written by Moses was about the right of women to inherit property. And he said, oh, wow, look at that.
Wow.
So here's the Jewish scriptures, the Christian Bible, recognizing this from antiquity. And hey, yeah, it's true. Ataturk figured that out. But I don't know how popular he is in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iran. I don't know how popular Ataturk is.
Not with those honor killings still.
Right.
Part of their culture. That's pretty violent.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to Bridget Gabriel talk the other day. She's the woman that wrote Because They Hate and They Must Be Stopped. She was a Christian in Lebanon before it was overtaken by the Muslims, and she had to deal with it as it was being overtaken. And she speaks Arabic, and she goes into their chat rooms. And here in the United States, this mosque is being marketed as a community center where all faiths will be welcomed. But she says when she goes into their chat rooms, it's never talked as a community center. It is called a mosque. You know, they're
right.
Talking about it like it's not a community center in their own chat rooms around the world.
It certainly will be a symbol to many that they will be victorious. We got the judge I grew up in New Jersey. This judge was probably less than 50 miles from Ground Zero. And there's a guy... A Muslim man raped his wife. In fact, let me pull this up here on my computer, Joe, at jihadwatch.org. Here is from the ruling. Now, thankfully, this was overturned by a higher court. But here's what the judge said when he threw this case out. He said, this court does not feel that under the circumstances that this defendant had a criminal desire to or intent to sexually assault or to sexually contact the plaintiff when he did. The court believes that he was operating under his belief, that is his religion, that as the husband, his desire to be intimate when and whether he wanted to was something that was consistent with his practices, and it was something that was not prohibited. That made headlines a few months ago, and thankfully it was overturned by a higher court. But wow, we've got judges in Muslim communities in America who say, hey, look, it's their Sharia law. And we've got friends who've gone to evangelize at Muslim events, like in Detroit, Christians. We showed the video on our website, kgov.com, Christians being arrested, handing out New Testaments in Arabic at a Muslim event in Detroit. The entire thing is on video. They were on public property, on the sidewalk outside of an event, and they were there for 2 minutes, and a whole team of cops came down and arrested them for what? Being Christians on a public sidewalk in America?
It just happened last week in Wichita. Pastor Mark Kolick, a good friend of ours, was passing out tracts at a mosque, and he was arrested on a public sidewalk.
Joe, I remember when Flip Benham was in Denver. A bunch of us went to the largest mosque, Islamic Center, in Colorado, and we were there. We were joined by the police, the FBI, Homeland Security. I don't know why they all came. But we had tremendous conversation with the imam there and all these young 20-something Muslim guys who were angry. But we ended up having a fabulous conversation for over an hour. And the media was presenting Islam as tolerant. And we were saying to the media, they don't allow churches in their cities.
That's right.
They don't allow synagogues in their countries. You can't take Bibles in. And what's worse, one pastor no one's ever heard of burning a Quran, or a whole country not allowing Bibles in?
Maybe some people will think that through.
Maybe
over
they
9/11.
Will. And, you know, now a number of pastors have said, we're going to burn the Quran.
I know they have.
We're going to burn the Quran tomorrow on 9/11, anniversary of September 11th. We're going to burn the Quran. And a Flip Benham, he's at the Personhood Conference in Wichita, Kansas,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is.
He's there tomorrow, so
he's
praise God for that.
He's one of the speakers, but the rest of OSA, most of them, are in New York.
Are in New York, that's right. And at that event, Joe, we've got Amendment 62 leaders, Personhood USA, Keith Mason, Guabe Garcia Jones. They're all at the Personhood Kansas Convention this weekend, so that is great. Also, I'd like to remind people, there are literature drops. One woman, Joe, one woman did literature drops in 29 precincts.
You're kidding.
One woman, Brenda. Tremendous job.
Wow.
Our banquet's coming up October 2nd, Colorado Right to Life, the place to be before the election. And then our telethon, Bob and Yurt Live, we've got 30 people of 200. The goal is 200. We dearly need your help.
We need it to keep this. This is like the Personhood hub, the hub of the whole wheel, where we can reach the community for what's going on and what we need. And we need to keep this on the air. It's November,
on the radio,
folks,
and over the internet around the country and even around the world. We need your help. 1-800-8-NYARDS. 1-800-836-9278. 836-9278. And online, too. Our website is KGOV.com. Go. The telethon links are right at the top, and you can click give online or by calling. May God bless you guys. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Bob.
I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom, and in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.